Hi, my name is Rob, and this is my weekly podcast. Each week, I sit down with a different guest, and we talk about things that you have been up to in the fandom. Are we going to talk about everything? Of course not. It's only an hour. Will we communicate effectively? It's a wheel of time. Probably not. But will we have fun? Most definitely. Welcome to Malkia's Wrap-Up. Hello, folks, and welcome back to Malkia's Wrap-Up. I seem to be on a roll recently. I think this is going to be 3 weeks in a row that you get an episode, so woohoo to me. And this week I am joined by the very eloquent and very charming goat brother himself, Roger. How are you doing, Roger?
I'm doing good. Yeah. I'm doing really good, yeah.
That's good to hear. Yeah. It's nice to record with someone where it's daylight not just for me, but for them as well.
That's true.
So this is lovely. So yeah, Roger, have you been on the podcast before?
Only on the Lights Work. Well, only. It was the Rethcon episode.
Yes, I do remember. I feel like I've heard Roger on a podcast before, so nice. Well, I'm glad this one, because that one was very early for you, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in the middle of the night and during work, and my coworker covered up for me so that I could join.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. Folks, if you're not familiar with the ReefCon episode from the Lightsburg podcast, you need to go check that out. That is the story of how Grace got a whole bunch of our friends together and a big scavenger hunt for me so that she could lay a bridal wreath, which obviously I picked up, folks, if you're not aware. But yeah, so it's nice that you can record your next experience during the day for you, Roger. So it's a nice casual middle of the afternoon for us. It's lovely. But we're going to get in. We get to know you a little bit better, Roger. So I'm going to kick it off with probably one of the most obvious questions, but I don't know the answer to this, and I feel bad to this. Why are you called Goat Brother? Please tell us that.
Because my nickname among my local friends is Goat. When I learned to become a nurse, there was a German Bavarian fun metal band who covered songs and changed the lyrics into Bavarian language and twisted them around a bit. And there was a hidden track on the album. And my first name is Roger, or normally my family calls me Roger, the French version. And there was a hidden track and they had a special guest, Roger, the singing goat. And from there on, they called me Goat, which is a bit derogatory in Germany. And they made fun of it and thought, okay, let's embrace it. And so I run with it. And then leading up to JordanCon last year, I thought, let's get a new brother type into the Wheel of Time universe. And I'm the goat, so why not be a goat brother?
Love that. That is hilarious. I love that you've taken something that is maybe not the best thing to be called, and like, no, I'm going to own that. I'm going to make it my own thing. Yeah, and it's brilliant. So yeah, we have Wolf Brothers, obviously, folks, as you know, and obviously we almost got Bear Brothers in the show, but Goat Brothers is just, it's very special. You give out little cards. I've seen you at both conventions, both JordanCon.
Yeah.
And you have the chibi.
Yeah.
The chibi of you, and then you have two of your pets in the chibi as well. Is that correct?
No. I got the chibi. The first chibi was only me and the wolf, because
right,
I'm a parent stand, so wolf brother are great. And then I became the goat brother, and I thought, you gotta add a goat to the chibi.
Right, okay. So, because I know you have a lot of animals, are an important part of your life. So for some reason, I presume they were your pets.
No, they aren't.
It wouldn't surprise me if you had like a very large dog that was almost wolf-like, and a pet goat as well. No, goats are amazing creatures.
Yeah, so. But my wife doesn't want me to have one because they break out of their fences all the time, and they're punks.
They are. This is so true. Goats are punks. My mother had a two or three goats, and they are. They just climb everything. They get out of everything, and they can be a bit of a butthead sometimes. So.
Yeah. And they headbutt everything that's possible too.
They do. So, but I love how you got that name, and your chibi is very cute. Are there any other goat brothers? Have you taken any into the cause with you?
Nobody joined me, as far as I know. It seems I'm the only one. Until now. So anyone who listens, become a goat brother. It's great. We're stubborn. We chew on tin cans for fun.
I like this. I feel like we need to start an actual, not a campaign, but like a bit of a drive, to a recruitment drive to get some goat brothers for you, or goat sisters as well. Obviously, you know, we're equal opportunists here. Goat people, just come be one of the goats. We'll have to talk to Pavara to get like an old tongue name, like it's like a Aiel society, yeah. But like goat brothers. I like this.
I thought we talked about that once, but I'm not. I think we did, but I forgot what to call ourselves. I think Pavara and I checked in on this short after Jordan Con last year, but I forgot because. Not everybody is as fluent in the old tongue as Pivara is.
This is true. Pivara is very, very skilled in her knowledge of the old tongue. There's a few of us out there that help along. John, he's also a very passionate about the old tongue language. Pivara, she's impressive with her knowledge. So yeah. If you have a question about the old tongue, folks, you just ask Bavara. She'll probably know the answer or be able to work it out. So that's great. You've mentioned, obviously, Jordan Con. You're like I am. You're based in Europe. And you have now been... I know you went to Jordan Con last year, this year. Did you go to WattCon last year?
No, WattCon isn't possible for me at the time because... I have to keep the summer open depending on weather. We've got horses. Right. We do our own hay, and something between mid-June, early June, and late July, depending on weather. It's hay season. So
mm-hmm. That's fair. So, but Jordan Con last year, was that your first Wheel of Time convention?
Yeah, the first.
And what inspired you to go? Like, why did you think, hey, I'm going to go to Jordan Con? Did you know people beforehand? Or, I'm going to go and make friends?
Yeah. No, I knew some people only from the Dusty Wheel chat and Twitter. And I never thought, hey, you are going to America. That was never a thing to fly to a convention. I knew about Jordan Con. I always thought, that would be cool. But going there, investing that much money, quote unquote, I don't know if that makes sense. Then the show came up and I thought, oh, this will gonna blow up. You will never get tickets. If you don't go this year, you will go never. So I went two times. Obviously, Jordan Con didn't blew up that much. But I think we were sold out, right? Or nearly sold out.
I believe
out.
It was sold out last year. Yeah. Yes. And, I think it came close to it this year, but not quite.
Yeah. And I'm trying to come back every year. And of course, the other great Wheel of Time convention, which will move to Prague next year, which I'm very excited about.
Yes, you also were one of the lucky people that came to the first Wheel of Time convention here in Europe, which is my convention, MercuryCon. You were a very early advocate, supporter. I think you bought a ticket, probably as soon as they came out or something of that nature. Yeah,
I think the same day, in the first hour. That's,
yeah, that sounds about right. I remember you being like, "I've got my ticket. I'll be there, Rob." So, and obviously, Mount Gerikon is far, far smaller. But what was that like as a much smaller con compared to going to JordanCon in April previously, which had like 1,000 people at?
Both have their own charm. JordanCon is great because you meet all your friends from Twitter, or a lot of them, not all, because not everybody can come, even if they're based in America. And MercuryCon is great because you don't have to choose between tracks or pedals. Everybody joins the whole day. It's far more intimate. You get to know people better than at JordanCon, because you can't meet everyone at JordanCon you want to meet. You can meet them, That's but true. You can't get to know them and spend a decent amount of time with them. So you hang with two or three groups, which is fine, totally. But MercuryCon is different. I like it. I loved it.
Wow. I'm glad to hear that. I have a small spoiler for you this year. You will have to, at one point during the event, choose a track, because for one segment of the tracks, there will be three events running at the same time, sadly.
Yeah, I know.
So you will have to pick one.
The Memo event and two others.
Yeah, so we have Memo. Memo is going to be a guest at MercuryCon this year. She'll be hosting a chibi class. She'll also be there as a vendor, so you'll be able to get lots of awesome Memo goodies if you want, folks. She is currently, I think she's doing a lot of polls on Instagram and things like that,
trying
to find out what people are interested in having and being able to purchase and have access to. So she's working on what she can bring. And then also Trian. If you've not stumbled across Trian's level work that she does, it's stunning. She often donates it to people to give away at charity functions and just prizes for things, and just makes them for people because she loves to. She is going to come and demonstrate some of her level working skills. And then some of the committee are getting together because we're going to have a fun interactive map making class as well. So yeah, we're going to have a creative session with a few things on at once. So sadly, Roger, this year you will have to pick.
But that's
one of those three.
It's only one event.
Or maybe just devote a little bit of time to each one and keep popping back and forth. Maybe, I'm not sure. So that's a problem. Unfortunately, people will have to make a decision for themselves.
Well, that's fair. It's fine.
Yeah, but like you said, we are moving to Prague next year, which is, I mean, if you're going to have a convention in Europe, Prague is the right place, isn't it?
Considering the show is there and. Prague is much more central in Europe than Manchester is.
For me,
the travel will be a bit more expensive, which is ridiculous, but it's fine. I think I'm going to come with my car and maybe a bit early, meet some folks, and maybe drive around.
I love that. I mean, I spoke to Uno and Agnor. They went on the trip earlier this year and they did some driving around. They found some incredible things. So
yeah.
If you can drive, it's worthwhile. But like I say, it's more central Europe, and I think it's going to be just a lot more accessible to people in general, and also be a bigger draw. Be like, you know, we're having the convention in Europe, so you know, in Prague, I'm excited about that for sure. So, but let's talk a bit more about you, Roger. How did you find Wheel of Time? How did you get into the story? Like, how long are you reading? All those sorts of things. Tell us how Wheel of Time came to be in your life.
I picked it up by accident. I read, as most of us fantasy nerds did, Lord of the Rings prior and the Silmarillion. I was into Magic the Gathering at the time, and there were a few novels of that. And then I went on a holiday with my back then girlfriend. I think it was 3 weeks in Turkey, and I needed something to read because you always need a book.
You always need something to read. This is very true.
And We were strolling through a grocery store, which also had books on display, and I saw the first half of Eye of the World, because the German publisher split up the books into two or three per British books, English, American books. There are 37 books in Germany for the whole town.
Wow. Do they all have like different covers and things like that? They all got different names, or is it like part one, part two?
No, they all got different names. I think the first one is Looming Shadows, then The Eye of the World, then The Horn of Valir, then The Great Hunt, and then I'm lost for what it's called.
That's incredible.
I checked in with Chris. I helped him with the list and the translation of the German titles. He has a On his What Wiki, he has all the covers, the German covers, the old and the new ones, because the publisher changed mid-season and they changed the cover work backwards. We've got the infamous naked lady cover for The Horn of Valir, or Horny in Valir, if you will.
I am not aware of an infamous naked lady cover, so
No,
perhaps I need
nobody is.
to go visit the What Wiki that's run by Chris, a British fan here, runs his own wiki, and check out this list because that sounds like some fun there. Could go and We should go rank the covers. It'd be very entertaining.
Yeah, and I saw the cover, I saw the book on display. It's basically a murderer on a horse and some Trollocs on snow-covered hills. And I thought, oh, that looks like fantasy. Let's pick it up and read it during the vacation. Finished it in 4 days and was dreading to get back to Germany to get the second book. And
Wow.
that was mid-90s, 95, 96, something like that. Stopped reading after RJ died. And thought, okay, let's wait what happens, and get all the books and then start from anew, because I think we had to wait for 6 or 7 years for the first book of Brandon here in Germany.
There was a reasonable wait for Brandon's, but I can't remember how long it is, but it was, I do remember it being a reasonable
I'm
amount of
not
time.
sure. And I think, it's just too many plot lines. It's too hard to remember everything if you start from there again, or if you pick the
Yes.
series up from there. And then I got so much other stuff going on work-wise, and books that I wanted to read, and this won't go away. And then the show was announced, and I started from anew and went through it, and loved it from the start.
Amazing.
Again, the whole story was just amazing, and it was such satisfying ending.
I too enjoyed the ending. There were moments of it where I was like, this is very quick. This is unexpected. This is very satisfying. This feels like perfect. There was a whole range of things there. But you're very, very new to having read Brandon's books then, because you read them only when the TV show came out, in effect, or when it was announced, sorry.
Only read them once.
Okay, but you've read the others twice then.
Some of them multiple times. In the beginning, I started them from anew every time a book came out, which was nearly every year and a half,
Right.
because they had that was a great thing with having 37 books, because the first half was published short after the American version because of
Right.
translation, and the year after the second half was published.
Wow, so you would get the books very, very quickly. Like,
Yeah,
and you know,
but
some people are waiting 2 years for the full book, and you're like, okay, I don't have to wait 2 years because I got one half,
yeah,
waited a
this
little bit,
year
got
and
another half, waited a little
right.
bit, got the first half of the next book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have quite the expanse of time between the books that some people have experienced. Sure. I'm interested then how you view the slog. Since you got the books in smaller bites, in effect, like, is the slog a real thing? Is it not a real thing? What are your thoughts?
For me, it's not a real thing because I really like the Malden storyline. It's too long.
Right.
It's too long. But
this is fair. It's very long. This
fair.
Is true.
But
yeah.
Perrin and Fael are amazing. I'll die on that hill every day.
I'll be right there with you, don't worry.
And I think the Malden plot shows how capable Fael is, and so I enjoyed it quite a lot. She
yes.
gains following even when being enslaved. She works her way through this system she has to exist in, and keeps her followers in line and cheers them up,
mm-hmm.
if you want to say that. So they,
yeah.
they don't resignate and...
Yeah, I agree. She initially, obviously, when we meet Fael, she's quite young and immature. But I think the Malden plotline really, you know, gives her a level of maturity in terms of dealing with life. And I think it's, you know, a huge progression in her for just her character. So I agree. It's very long. You're right there. But I think it pays off for
yeah.
me, at least, anyway. And then, you know, the polexic stuff is interesting once you ignore the fact that there's 35 bath scenes, which is, you know, it's just dealing with how, you know, RJ wanted to put everyone in the bathtub, apparently. So
yeah. But we've got Rand and Matt playing in nearly 1,000 inns and pubs on their way to Camelin.
This is true. No one talks about that. Well, we don't like Matt in that book. That's what they say. They don't talk like this drags on or anything. So
yeah.
That's a very valid point. So what is? So we have. So people say the slog. So what we need like a name. Be like, you know, for that that segment. Like what is it? Like Ingate or something. You know.
Yeah.
Hashtag Ingate. You say hashtag the slog. I say hashtag Ingate. Well, Rand and Perrin, Matt and Rand's visit. The never-ending bar crawl. That's
yeah.
right, Sulin. Sulin's listening in chat along with a few other patrons. And yeah, the never-ending bar crawl. That does not go well at certain points.
Yes.
So definitely a bar crawl. I love that. Have you ever gotten, so you mentioned obviously your wife, you know, helps you with the horses and things like that. Have you got her into Wheel of Time? Is she not a reader, or she'll like watch the show? Like, what's her level of sort of interest in the Wheel of Time? Because obviously you're, you know, a huge fan.
Yeah.
Does she be like, my husband's really nerdy and I just let him get on with it? Or does she dive in with you a little bit?
At the beginning of our relationship, she started to read the books, I think, up to book 13, German 13, so that might be 5 or 6.
Yeah, I was thinking somewhere in the middle of this, yeah.
Then she had enough. it wasn't
It's
hers.
Quite complex at that point, isn't it? The world has expanded greatly. It's getting a bit
yeah.
crazy, isn't it? So.
Yeah, yeah. And she watched the show. Yeah, she thought it was okay.
It was okay.
It was okay. I don't know if she said that to pick on me because we are giving us a tough time. If you don't know us better, you think, oh, they are not having a good relationship, but we do. We just, it's our sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
So she randomly, when we disagree and we are in public, she randomly says, "Oh, I want to get a divorce." And I say, "Yeah, okay, because of the house that we own, I only got debt. I'd share that with you, no problem."
That's brilliant.
But everyone wants to.
I love that. That sounds like a lot of fun, to be honest, just like giving each other shit.
Yeah, it's quite a Uno-like relationship.
Yes,
Not
that's
that extensive cursing, but that sense of humor, yeah.
yeah, I agree.
Or ideal humor relationship,
Yeah, maybe,
yeah.
yeah. So, okay, so she's not she's never finished the series. She's watched the TV show. She's like, yeah, it's okay. How does she feel about you running off to all these conventions? Is she perhaps going to join you in Prague next year? Could
No, she
you know?
won't. No, she
No,
won't.
she's not
No,
even
no.
just like go to Prague and just hang out in Prague while you
No,
nerd
because of the
out.
dogs.
Oh, okay.
Someone has to stay behind with the dogs, so I get permission to run off, and I'm very grateful for that. But she, I don't think she would come. No, no.
Fair enough.
I asked her.
How many?
Yeah,
Nope,
sorry.
go for it.
Lost tracks. You go.
Oh, that's
Sorry.
that's okay. We've had a question from the patron. Sulan would like to know, do you think she'll watch season two?
I think she will watch season two. I
Yeah,
won't
okay.
make her to watch it. I will watch it. If she watches it, I will watch it with her again. But it's up to her.
That's fair. So, nice. I was going to segue, the dogs was a nice segue into my next question. Obviously, you mentioned that you have all the dogs. Animals are a big part of your life.
Yeah.
I know you have horses. You've had a rough year. You've sadly had two of your wonderful horses pass on. But you've got a lot of dogs. You've got horses. Like, why are animals so important to you, Roger? What's why? What is it about them that you love so much?
They're just honest. If they're pissed, they show it to you. They're not false. And you don't get. I think it's just a company. It's just a company you get from them. It's a different kind. You don't get that with humans. And I think dogs are amazing. Cats are amazing. I always wanted to have kangaroos, but
Kangaroos, wow.
Banded kangaroos, those little mountain kangaroos.
Right.
They're cute, but no.
No, just the dogs, the cats, the horses. Do you have anything else?
No, we had bunnies back in the days, but no, just now. And we're going down in numbers because we're getting
Okay.
older. We at max we had five horses, six cats, five dogs. It's quite a lot of work. Now we got two
That is a lot of work.
horses, three horses living with us. The horse of my wife's best friend stays with our horses. Still three dogs. We're going down to two. And two cats now, and it's okay.
Sounds a little bit more manageable for you.
Yeah, the dogs aren't
Slightly
that big of
smaller,
a problem.
slightly smaller food bill as well.
Yeah, especially for the horses.
Yes.
One of my horses had to put down 2 years ago, and he was formerly owned by a very rich man.
Right.
Millions, not so. And when they bought him, he did cost as much as a Porsche.
Wow.
And rich people don't ride; they have people who ride their horses.
This is true.
And he was very high trained. He was a jumping horse for tournaments, and one day the trainer got upset and hit him with an iron bar in the head. So, nerve was severed, and which caused his left lower lip to hang down, and then the jaw deformed. And the last 2 or 3 years, I had to bring him huge buckets of foods because he couldn't eat grass anymore. So, and that was quite expensive. But you love him, and then
Yeah.
you pay the bill.
This is true. And I'm sure he loved, being with you and getting to spend some time with someone who truly looked after him and cared for him.
Yeah, he was great. When we got him, he was a killer. He would run through you without a blink of an eye.
Right.
Afterwards, he was more like a dog. And he was, and the problem was, he was huge,
Yeah, I'm
huge and
sure. Yeah.
heavy, and he wasn't very aware of his body. So sometimes he would hit it, he would hit me with his head in the chest. So, oh, come on, pet me, and
You've been flung backwards a little bit, shall we
a
say.
bit, a bit, yeah.
My sister and mother had horses when I was younger. I'm familiar with the ones that don't have their own spatial awareness or the awareness of their own strength. So, which sometimes is more dangerous than the ones that are aware of their own strength. It's a mixed bag. So, but yeah, they're wonderful creatures. And you were so inspired. You actually entered the parody contest this year and did a song about Bella, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
And it's a beautiful song.
I'm not sure about that.
I'm sure about that, Roger. So we'll not disagree about this here. It's a
Okay.
beautiful song. Folks, if you're not aware, Roger entered the parody contest, did a song about Bella. And all Roger would say about it is like, I'm not a great singer. And as we all know about the parody contest, it's not about your singing quality. It's about the song you're making for us to enjoy. And it was a stunning song. What was the original song that you used? Like, how did you come up with the song? Like, what was your inspiration to put this song together?
The original song was Luca by Susan Vega, early 90s song. Initially, I wanted to do a song about the Altor farm and was working on Our House from Madness. I wanted to turn
Nice.
it Our Farm, but I couldn't get the words out in the rhythm that I had to. I tried, I had lyrics nearly for half of the song, but it didn't work out for me.
Okay.
And then short before, I think a week and a half before the closing for submissions, I had the idea for this song and made it in, I think I wrote the lyrics in 2 night shifts and recorded it in the last night shift prior to the submission and did the video without any skills and never
It
done
was
acting this
amazing.
before.
It was great. It tugged on some heartstrings. It was emotional. It was beautiful. I definitely did not see a dry eye in the house when that was being played on the Dusty Wheel. So I appreciate that you did it, Roger. I want to say another thank you for it. Do you think you'll enter next year?
I've got an idea.
Okay.
I'm working on something. It will be a German song, but English lyrics.
Okay.
I'm working on a Mad song.
Okay, a Matt song.
Yeah.
Bane and Chad is there, like, oh, more Matt bias. Nice. I'm glad to hear that you're going to answer again, Roger, because we did love your song. Many people enjoyed it. We played it on Threefold Talk, and it's stunning. And the video you had there, like that, was that featuring some of your own horses, if I remember correctly?
No,
No, or is that just stock images you found, or stock video you found?
I think yeah, it was all pictures I could find of Archie, the horse who plays Bella.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't realize. I for some reason I assumed it was your own horse because I knew you had horses, so but
No,
it's actually Archie
it
who plays
was
Bella.
no, it
That's
was
very cute.
Archie. I think
That's
then
perfect.
if you do Bella, do Bella.
That is true. That is true. But folks, if you've not checked out Roger's parody, I will throw a link in the description to the podcast so you can go and check that out. It's a beautiful song. So please go and give that a like so that other people can find it and enjoy the song as well. So, well, I feel like we know you a little bit better now, Roger, which is nice. Because I've learned some things about you. I've learned some things about the German Wheel of Time books, which I did not know. There's 37 of them. That's going to be fun. But let's talk a little bit about Wheel of Time. Now, I'm assuming you were potentially at work, or were you asleep last night when this news got released by what series?
I was finishing up my night shift. I thought it
okay, so
early in the morning, something about 5 or so, 4 or 5. This one,
right?
Yeah.
So it was good timing for you. Bad timing for the Innkeeper because it was just after his live stream. But what series released an article showing that Natasha O'Keefe had not just got Wheel of Time on her CV, but actually listed the character Lanthir as who she was playing in the Wheel of Time. I saw that when I got up this morning. Apparently, it has since been taken off her CV. It just says Wheel of Time now again. But it was thanks to Twitter 621 days ago that Natasha O'Keefe was named as a character in Wheel of Time. So that's almost 2 years ago, folks. That's a very long time ago. And then today we found out. I mean, I obviously did a video thinking she was Verin. I was going hard on that for a while. And then we got Verin, Mira Sayo, which is amazing. And she's actually going to rock that out of the park. So I was simply like, well, she's got to be Lanthir. I was on the Lanthir train. So I'm going to give myself like half a point for this one. Roger, who did you think Natasha was playing originally when you first saw her?
I was going for Elida, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm not mad that she's playing Lanthir.
Okay, so we're doing supportive panda mode for Moradin rather than actual panda mode ourselves, or?
I don't panda that fast, so that's.
Folks, if you're not aware what we mean, you need to check out again. Detail second uptake for the Lightsword podcast here. But Moradin was on recently and it got talked about the rioting he does, and there was a panda mode discussed. I believe pandering would happen if Natasha O'Keefe was not playing Elida. Just for clarification there, folks. So you think this is a great casting, but you're not fussed that she's not Elida. You don't mind.
I trust the show. They did a great job at casting people. I think the casting was perfect. I'm not on board with every decision they made for the changes. Like, I don't mm-hmm. see it. I'm not a big fan of the Layla Abara fridging.
Right.
I think they should have him kill Master Luan instead.
Yeah.
It would have done the same thing without taking away the role, the one true love stuff from him and Fael, being a parent Fael stan. I'm not that excited about that change, but I know why they did it and it's fine. Nobody has a show where he likes everything about that show.
Oh, so true. Yeah. I've just been doing rewatches of shows. Kayla's been watching them with me because she's there reading on the couch and she's like, I hate that person. I'm like, I actually hate that character too. And not like, I should hate the character and thus they're well written. It's more of a case of this character is just a shit character and is not fulfilling a purpose. Yeah. So, but I love the show regardless.
Yeah.
So, you know, Wheel of Time's the same. I don't like the fridging thing either. I understand why they put it in. I think there could have been other ways to do it, better ways to do it, but you know, I still like the show. So.
Yeah, true. Therefore I trust them with the caster. We all have our headcanons and fan castings for people as long as they aren't announced. Like my headcanon for Showtom would have been Peter Capaldi, the 12th Doctor.
Okay.
And obviously he wasn't Tom, and the Tom we got was pretty fine, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the style of Tom that they go for, I think that works.
Yeah.
Peter Capaldi is as Tom. Interesting. I feel
His
like.
long arms waving around
Yes.
flamboyantly and
There's a quirkiness to Capaldi, isn't there? Like,
Yeah,
the way
and he's a
the.
skilled musician as well. He had a short period where he had a punk band with Craig Ferguson.
I was not aware of this.
The Dream Boys.
The Dream Boy. That's a fun name for a band. Okay. That's great. Okay. Yeah. No, he plays whenever I've seen him perform, he's always got a slight quirkiness to him. I'm trying to the quirky the flamboyantness totally works for Tom, but the quirkiness, just trying to match that up with Tom that maybe I mean if he could turn that, he's a good actor anyway, so he could probably turn that back and play a little slightly less quirky. But yeah, interesting. Not a choice I would have gone for, but I could see it working. I do like the gritty Tom that's a bit more of a scoundrel that they've introduced. That's younger. I think it works. So with Natasha, do you think we're going to get like Natasha introduced as Lanthier, as Celine? Like, how do you think they might bring her in?
I hope she will be introduced as Celine or maybe as Lanthier, but that would take the plot twist away for those who are not that hardcore fan freaks as we are,
Yeah.
and turn every stone that we find. Because they like that plot twist.
It is good. It is. It's a lot of fun. It's a good reveal in the books, especially for Rand.
And they did it with The Dragon Reborn, so they obviously like their plot twists, and it keeps the audience engaged, right?
I believe so.
So I hope either we will get her as Celine, and I think when they introduce her as Lanthier, it might be a scene with Ishii.
Okay,
So
because we
for
do have a
sake of
scene in
meeting.
that, yeah, like we have the Dark Friend Social, and there's obviously that scene of a woman who's as covered in blood is the best as we can work out, covered in something, and just sort of extends a hand out for someone to like help her up, pull her out, whatever it might be. Do you think she'll be in either one of those scenes or a separate scene we haven't seen yet?
You mean for the reveal?
Yes, when we find out she's Lanthier.
If she is the lady covered in blood,
Okay.
is she? It's her being pulled out by Ishii from the boar, or the prison.
Right.
I would like to have that as a throwback picture,
Oh, so
so
almost like
that
a
you.
cold open or something?
Yeah,
Okay.
she's already introduced, and then that might be the plot twisting reveal that she
Nice.
actually is Lanthier. That I wouldn't like it that much if they start her arc with that.
Right. Oh yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think that would be good too. I like that as a cold open idea. You know, we've had maybe a couple of episodes as Celine. Is she trustworthy? Is she not trustworthy? All those sorts of things, interacting with Rand, whoever else he's with at the time. And then, you know, an actual reveal right at the, you know, like an episode ends with a very dubious moment with her, and you're very much on the, well, is she or isn't she, you know, on the side of light or dark? And then we could have the cold reveal, a cold open that reveals actually here she is being saved from the prison by Ishii. That's a yeah. I think that would be a fun cold open. I like that idea. Perhaps even you know you could do an episode 6 or something like later in the series, later in the season. Sorry. Nice. Now, with Lanthier being revealed, although this has since been swiped off her CV, do you think it was accidentally put on the CV? Do you think this was someone being like, "There's press junkets coming up. We can just put it on. It'll be okay." Or were you aware that it was put on and taken off?
I noticed that it was taken off again just prior to this recording.
Okay, right.
Because I had to sleep. After
This is
night
true.
shift.
Sleep is important, folks. Yes.
I think somebody messed things up. As the German Twitter account did with the moraine video back in the day.
Yeah, and the Trolloc, was that the one that had Trollocs in it?
No, the
Was the Trolloc
international
account
one.
also the chip?
No. The Trollocs were revealed, I think, in a, if I remember correctly, in a feature video they did
I
shortly
feel like
for.
there was, I'm sure there was, because I remember we talked about it on Threefold Talk because it happened like an hour before our show. One of the European Twitter accounts for Prime just released this like low res version of Trollocs fighting or something, and we talked about it
Oh
for like,
yeah, you're
yeah.
talking about that, yeah.
So I don't know which it was one of the European based
Yeah.
Prime accounts. It could have been the UK one, could have been Germany, could have been one of the others, I don't know.
The German one was the international video was just Rosamund Pike's face glowing up from the lightning bolt and then opening her eyes when she was
Oh,
summoning.
yes.
And the German put out a video showing her to the waist so we could see
Ah,
the
yes, there was
costume.
much more. Yeah, they put out the wrong one, didn't they? Yeah.
And it lasted, I think, for 10 or 12 hours, and then they took it down from Twitter.
Yeah, then they realized. I think those were probably key moments when some of the people at Amazon realized, hey, we should follow some of these key accounts and see what they're putting out there just in case they stumble across things that are posted that shouldn't have been. So you think this was an accidental character name posting on her CV?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Because Amazon is now very cautious with stuff they put out. They're not really good at it with the last images and having them named with the episode titles or episode numbers. Seems like not everybody in the Amazon department for Wheel of Time knows or got the memo. Yeah, you gotta watch out. Those Wheel of Time fans, they're freaks. They're turning every stones. So they're fine.
We're sneaky, some of them. I like most of it. I had this conversation earlier with Kayla when we were talking about the Lanthe field reveal. Some of it I think it's great where we're hunting out and just like, you know, we finding these people or, you know, people post things and stuff like that. It's exciting. I like it personally up to the point where you're finding out, okay, this person's playing a certain character. They're building the set for Emmons Field for season three, things like that. But like when it gets beyond that and you get like actual like plot lines leaked or storylines leaked that give you like details, for me that takes some of the magic away of like finding something
Yeah.
beforehand. I don't know how you feel about that, Roger.
Yeah, true. I don't want to know what happens in the show. Well, we know the general arc, but I don't want too much refined stuff that shows too much. I like what they did with the scissor reel. Just short pictures or short video clips or the BTS video. I think both trailers, or the teaser trailer and the trailer for season one, were great. But I don't want to know too much about it.
I agree.
And I like the battle between us and them. So they're putting something out, and we try what we can find, and it's like a match.
It is like a little bit match, yeah. It's like a game of chess, like trying to find the pieces and stuff. It's very, that's a good way of putting it. Or a game of stones, perhaps, maybe capturing certain things. Yeah, it's like a game of stones. I like that. You just mentioned the behind the scenes and the teaser trailers and things like that. I do have an, I suppose, an editing source. I've mentioned this before, but I have reasonably definitive knowledge that editing for season two is finishing this week. So if you're listening on release date, folks, it was like Thursday, Friday this week. If you're listening later, obviously it's the previous week. But yeah, some point around today, tomorrow, 22nd, 23rd, at some point this week, editing for season two will be wrapped up. That is the expectation that I heard from my contact last, which to me suggests a trailer is not too far away. Now, obviously, San Diego Comic-Con is coming up, and we had the Twitter of Chaos put out the picture of the keyboard and, you know, fingers on certain keys and stuff. Do you expect a teaser trailer or something of that nature at the Comic-Con, prior, afterwards? What are your thoughts on when we might get something, Roger?
I think around that time frame.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think. They won't do it at WatCon, which
right.
some...
Which is about 3 weeks away at current recording time. So we're not going to get it at WatCon. Will WatCon get something, perhaps? They got a couple of deleted scenes last year. Do you think they'll get something?
I think they get something, a clip or something. But the Twitter of Chaos emphasized too much on trailer Gaidon.
Right.
When was it? Was it with the sizzle reel? The real trailer Gaidon is... still far away or something like that they put out on Twitter.
I'm terrible for remembering these details, so I cannot actually remember myself either. So you think a teaser trail will be at San Diego Comic-Con then?
I think maybe not viewable for us when I don't know if you can watch the panels of San Diego Comic-Con on YouTube. Some of the Comic Cons.
Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Yeah, yeah. I think it depends on what they're up to and who is appearing in said panels, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. I think they will show it for the in person attendees. And then short after the panel, the same day or next day. I think they put something out and then we will have our 12-hour live stream.
I'm a slightly different path to that than yourself, Roger. I'm thinking we get a teaser trailer perhaps 7 to 10 days out from San Diego Comic-Con in order to build a bit of extra hype for the event at the convention. And then we get a casting reveal instead. At the convention. That's kind of where I'm going. But you know what? Either way, I'm not disappointed. As long as we get a little bit of notice, because not all of us can drop everything for 12 hours and sit on live streams and do things like that, can we, Roger?
Yeah, yeah. That's luckily I work night shifts and I have to be there and supervise ventilations, and our patients are quite stable. So I can do most of the
nice. Of the 12 hours. You can get involved with a lot of it. That's very good. We do often see you in the threefold talk chats, popping in and stuff when you're able to. So it is always a delight. I used to be like that during lockdown. I had to stay up, but not going to work for me at the moment, sadly. But I make the big events. That's what I always say, folks. Yeah. So some point in the next 4 to 6 weeks at the most. When is San Diego Comic Con? Now that we've said this.
I think it's a week after WatCon, isn't it?
23rd, I was thinking something like
23rd
that.
July?
Yes, so a week after WatCon. So that's basically 4 weeks from now. So somewhere in the next... Let's be slightly realistic. Somewhere in the next 4 to 6 weeks at max, we're going to have a teaser trailer. I think that's a reasonable assumption to make there.
The trailer will drop in August.
And then... the full trailer in August. I like that. That was my next question. The full trailer in August. That's fun. We already know the release date is September 1st. So a full trailer, maybe the second week of August, I think, is appropriate.
Yeah, I think so. So mid to... The last one was two or three weeks prior, I think.
Yeah, I felt like a few weeks prior, something like that. I know Geeky Eerie has made a list of dates and comparisons. So she has that out, folks. If you want to check that out, it's on her Twitter account. You should be able to find it. But yeah, so I like... I like a full trailer in August, and they should tease it, you know, trailer coming in August, and everyone would be like, yeah, okay, whatever, we've heard that before. So... That would be brilliant. And then the season one drops September 1st. It will be September 1st for you and I. Because and of August. Time zones. In America, it's going to be August 31st. So you are getting something in August if you're in America, folks. Just the first one, two, three episodes, whatever it might be. as Beta Chia is saying in chat, yes, August 32nd. but, you know, you are going to be at MercuryCon this year. And we are working hard to make sure we're doing it legally, folks. Because I was all excited and be like, we're going to do the watch party for the episodes. And I was like, but we're not at a house. We're at a hotel venue. There is licensing requirements. So we are working hard to ensure that we meet all of those requirements and don't break any rules that, you know, should not be broken, obviously. But we'll be having a, you know, fingers crossed and manifesting it. We're having a watch party at MercuryCon. For at the very least, I think we would play like the episode that came out that week, because otherwise if we played, let's say, even if they dropped two episodes the first week, that's still three episodes to play. Let's say 3 hours of content. Yeah. That's a lot when you're trying to do a conventional weekend as well. Yeah, we'll be having a watch party for the latest episode that's released. And then we'll probably, you know, stream a previous episode or two at certain points when it's just casual, like lunch or something like that sort of thing. But yeah, have you done a watch party before for anything? Roger, have you ever been to any sort of watch party for a movie, a TV show, anything you've been interested to go and see?
No, I haven't. So
a watch party for season two of Wheel of Time would be
the first.
Something would be your first.
Yeah. Well, you watch movies with your friend when you meet up. So, but that's not a watch party, right?
No, it's just
four friends hanging out watching the same movie and talking shit.
Or is this going to be like, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100 people, whatever it is that ends up coming to the convention, going to be in a room squealing over Wheel of Time. I imagine some people, because of travel, may not have even seen that episode by then.
Yeah.
It's possible, isn't it? Because it will come out Friday morning here in Europe.
Yeah.
And the convention starts... I mean, we have an unofficial event on the Friday night, because some people arrive on the Friday. Because the logistics of the hotel runs all day Saturday and Sunday, folks, rather than a usual convention, which is Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, Sunday morning. Because they're a business hotel, Monday to Fridays are their expensive days, and it would double the cost of the con, basically, to use it on the Friday. It's ridiculous. So we do an all-day Saturday, Sunday event. So people arrive some point on the Friday, so we have some low-key activities on the Friday. And then, we'll have some fun on the Saturday. So it's very possible people traveling on the Friday won't have a chance to watch the show. They might watch it Friday night, but then knowing that we're going to play whatever episode is latest on the Saturday night, they might wait. So that could be interesting. If people, especially episode four, it's potentially what it would be if they followed last year's three-episode drop.
But I'm not sure if they put out that much episodes. So
are you thinking one or two episodes on the first week?
Yeah, maybe just one.
Just one, okay. I'm thinking two myself, but just one.
Yeah, I'm hoping for two, but now that Wheel of Time is established, maybe. I don't know how much they do with consecutive seasons and the number of episodes they dropped. I don't look into that.
Yeah. I don't want three, that's for sure. I think three shortens the time that the season is out by too much. Two episodes, you still have 7 weeks of show. If you have three, you only have 6 weeks, and that, I know it's only a week, but it makes a big difference, I think.
Yeah.
You know. So, but yeah, it could be episode three, episode four, maybe even episode two that plays. Whatever it is going to be exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, can't wait for that. Roger, was there anything else you think people have been up to you wanted to chat about before we wrap up? That obviously Landfair News has kind of pandered the Twitter of Time fandom so far right now. But, you know, is there anything else you saw happening in the fandom? You're like, this was hilarious. I want to mention it.
We've got a new reactor on YouTube. I posted about that on my Twitter account. She is from the UK, I assume, going by her accent. And she does a really great job. I like her reactions. She's into...
I feel like I've seen you post this somewhere. What's the name of the channel?
Joy113, I think it is.
Joy as in joyful?
Yeah, yeah. She has done episode 3 this Tuesday. She releases on Tuesday.
Okay.
And she
posted this in a server somewhere, didn't you?
Sorry?
You posted this in a server somewhere. I'm looking for the link right now. I can't remember where I saw.
I think I wasn't. It was on Twitter.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me go to your Twitter account. Maybe someone reposted it. Joy Scott 13. Yeah, there we go. Okay, right.
And she has great insights, and she is very into the series.
Yeah?
She's very hyped. And she asked the right questions. And last episode, we had a nice Easter egg. I won't say what it is, but I was going, what? Because she used the phrase we love from the second book.
Oh, so much okay. Is teased. Amazing. I've gone and clicked on the video. I haven't pressed play, but I paused it. And there's a lot of Bane and Chia is going to love this. I immediately see 3 baby Grogu pop Funko head things, those are called. I forget what they are. 3 of those in a stack of 10 in the background with many, many DVDs, countless DVDs there. I see a Dalek. I see a baby Groot. I see an X-Men poster on the wall. This is someone. I see a Captain America little pin on one of her drawers. Mm. This is someone who is clearly a one of us type situation with all these hilarious things. I'm definitely going to have to check this out.
And I think she will read the books as well. I think she already said that.
Awesome. I love that. Great touch. All right, folks. Well, I will also link that in the description to the podcast so that you can check them out and see the content. And then we'll just be like, hey, you need to come join us on Twitter. You need to come find, maybe a spoiler-free section of Twitter if she's not.
Yeah. I already, I think on the first video I posted that. And I mentioned the origins.
Nice.
She should watch that.
Yes, and very true.
There are a lot of the usual suspects in the comment section.
Oh, yeah.
She's fun. She's and I think it was a nice treat. To nearly 1.5 years after the first season to get someone who just dives into it.
Yeah.
I think we were done with reaction videos too.
I never did actual reaction videos. I think Kayla and I talked on the podcast about them, and I've always wanted to go back and do them. I even watched episode 1 and made myself notes, and I'm feeling the pressure to actually do them now before season 2 comes out and actually, do some thoughts on it. I'll tell you after the recording, there's a moment I noticed with Lan in episode 1 where I'm just like, that's not what Lan would do in that moment. So it surprised me. It's like I say, it is good to see someone doing reactions and clearly having fun. As you say, she's laughing and smiling and asking all really interesting questions. I've just breezed through some of the comments there. People are loving it. So
she's amazing.
Yeah, I like this. So thank you. That's a great pick. I appreciate that, Roger. And thank you for hanging out and talking with me and, sharing some of your story of Wheel of Time and how you got into it and, bits of your life. Folks, Roger is on Twitter. Is it you're currently Goat Brother Snackwater, is that correct? The Snackwater trainee, sorry, my apologies. Right.
Another Jordan Con.
Yes. Yeah, Snackwaters have started to appear a bit. There's obviously yourself as a Snackwater trainee. This was all because of Mistress Dovey's parody, is that correct? Where she was looking for a warder.
Yeah, and I made a quick appearance in her video.
You did indeed.
And I'm not the kind of, a bit like Taylor Napier. I'm not that much a snack as him, but I provide snacks as he does.
There we go. At least sometimes that's just as important.
At least at JordanCon I did.
It was great. So there are some snack water accounts starting to appear on Twitter. Obviously Taylor Napier, the king of snack waters, the snack water himself. Obviously yourself as a trainee. I've seen some others, people putting snack in their title and stuff. There's a snack water Twitter account itself, just says snack water. So it's becoming a little subculture there. It's very cute to see it sometimes. It's not crazy and active, folks. There's not like thousands of, Taylor himself is not crazy on Twitter. He pops here and there and just like crushes us with beautiful responses or posts or whatever it might be. I see him other accounts now and again popping in and out with things. It's fun to see. Go and follow Roger on Twitter. You can search Goat Brother Snack Water Trainee. That'll turn up. Or it's how do you pronounce it? Is that a German word in the actual your Twitter? No?
Actually, my handle has a typo and I can't change it because I made the account via Apple ID and it don't let you change the handle now. Initially it was intended to be HROTH goat because the Celtic origin of the name Roger is Hrothgar.
The one who
handles a spear with honor. And I wanted to combine the first part, Roth, and instead of Gar, Goat, because of my nickname. So, and then
I love that.
Somehow I entered an A after the O.
You snuck an A in that. Sneaky A. That's great. That's a fun little tidbit right at the end there. Thank you, Roger. Well, folks, I'm going to put the link in the description to the podcast so you can go follow Roger if you haven't already. And if you're not savvy on the Twitters and things like that, just hit someone up that you do know and they will be able to help you and send you a link you can click on if you can't figure it out yourself, because we all like to help each other out here. So again, thank you, Roger. I really appreciate the time. This has been wonderful getting to know you and talk to you and get your opinions on some of the stuff people have been up to. Folks, please like and review the podcast wherever you choose to listen. Leave me a review. Tell me what you liked. Tell me what you didn't like. Be constructive if you're doing that bit, because if you're just like, you suck, I would be like, I don't care. Because that doesn't bother me. Please do that. Please come and check us out on some of my other platforms. I am on Twitter as well. You can see me doing videos and live streams and all sorts, including Threefold Talk on YouTube. That's every week on a Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. And, if you want to be able to come and listen live, like some of the folks doing right now on my Discord account, you can join the Discord server and join the Patreon if you're able to sponsor me there. And you can listen to my podcast recordings when they're live and get early access to videos and other bits and pieces as well in there if you want. Alternatively, you can just listen and love and share, and I will still appreciate you all. But until next time, folks, thank you so much. And may you always find love, water, and shade. Thank you so much for listening to Malkia's Wrap-Up. If you'd like to support me, please head over to Patreon, where you can sign up and listen to the podcast as I record each week at any level. And thank you so much. Please follow the account on Twitter, join me on YouTube once in a while, and leave a comment and tell me what you liked and what I missed, because I'm sure there was plenty. But until next time, folks, please find love, water, and shade.